welcome, everybody, to episode 316 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, the Mug is here, and the greatest human being of all time, Stealth, the Stealthy One himself. How are you guys? Anybody?
Quiet.
Yeah, we're all here.
We're all here. Stealth, is that adequate? Or
yeah, that's fine.
All right.
Okay. No, I don't think it is.
Start drinking it.
I think there's.
Yeah, I had to go longer, but I feel bad.
Get out of here, you son of a bitch. I didn't feel bad last year when you declared me to be the greatest human being of all time. All right. Before we go any further, I want to make a quick announcement about myself and my hosting duties on RP Grinders and any other podcasts I'm a part of. I'm going to be taking an indefinite hiatus. I'm not going to divulge why. I have some personal issues that I got to conquer before I can even consider coming back to the airwaves, but I'm perfectly satisfied that Eric, Brake, Moria, and even Stealth, the greatest human being of all time, can carry on the torch of RP Grinders. I haven't worked 7 years plus doing this show just for it to end on my account. It's bigger than me, and even I understand that. So that's my announcement. It's kind of a sad announcement for me. I put my heart, soul, energy into everything I do on the air, and I hope these guys can continue to bring you quality content every week.
Although next bring you week, toilet humor every week,
dicks and butts.
I think what Frank is going to get at is that there's a Valtrex prescription in his near future,
or he's finally getting ready for his Pope training.
See, I'm, dude. You hit the nail on the head. I'm.
You said personal demons. That's, you know, religious overtones.
Persona demons.
That's like herpetic lesions.
Yeah.
So this has nothing to do with the sexual harassment lawsuit. These are just independent of one another.
Right. I mean, you heard of that cheerleader that slept with a 15-year-old? It has nothing to do with that. Breaks, but nice try, man.
Wait, so are you saying you were the cheerleader?
Male cheerleaders.
Oh man, that'd be so funny, man. All right, let's get into the news, guys. Wait, before we go on, I don't believe there will be a show next week because I gotta crack the whip and train one of these guys to be able to record and possibly get on the air live. I doubt.
Well, maybe there'll be a test episode.
Next week, the show will be renamed Beats by Break.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, shit.
God, I wish. I'd like to have just a fraction of that money.
I know, man. Trust me, if I had a fraction of that money, shit would be so much better. All right.
Most of their money goes into advertising, not the quality of their product.
Beats are pretty badass, man.
That's every decent electronic device, though.
Yeah, but there are a lot better brands out there that are lesser known.
Yeah, because but they're more expensive.
Not, yeah, I mean, you're looking at a good, at a minimum, a good 60 to 65% of their budget goes into advertising. Because, I mean, and that's why they sell so well.
Yeah, they're
actually
really,
really
nice.
If you want really good audio quality, get German brand.
Sennheiser and Klipsch, stuff like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good audio.
Eric, let's start with the first news story.
First news story is former Final Fantasy and Disgaea developers working on this strategy RPG. Toshihiko Kojima previously worked on Disgaea titles with Nipponichi, and Hayato Kosei worked as a programmer for titles such as Final Fantasy 13 and 14. And the two recently joined forces to work on a new Kickstarter project called Soul Knights.
Yeah, of course. Kickstarter.
And the game runs on a turn-based battle system, and it's isometric, and automatic actions are taken by each unit, so it sounds kind of like Ogre Battle's battle system.
Hmm. Looks a lot. It's,
but there's still a grid base, so I guess your positions in battle makes matter.
Mm. Stylistically, it sort of looks like Disgaea, but what can you expect from, you know, the guy that worked on Disgaea? So, there you go. I mean, even the art style kind of harkens to Disgaea. I'm not a Disgaea guy at all. I know them.
Not really. I mean, this is a different artist.
I've never played any of them myself.
Yeah. I tried time and time again to play them. I just couldn't get into them. They're very deep games for sure.
Yeah, but I'm also led to understand that in order to really get the most out of them, you have to grind like crazy. And
as we've established,
that's not my thing.
Stop playing role playing games, man.
So does this mean we have to change the name of the show?
For the main story of the game, you do have to grind occasionally, but if grinding's only really necessary for post game content.
Now we can. Instead of RP grinders, we'll be RP breezers. We just kind of breeze on through.
No, you guys can be stealth and the stealthettes.
Oh, get out of here!
We can be stealth and the stealthettes.
I know. I get to be stealth. You guys get to be the stealthettes.
There's no changing the names.
Is it gonna be like Smurf and see, this guy, Gargan?
I sense a new shtick. It's like, sure, the official title will still be RP grinders, but every week we're going to give it a new unofficial title.
I announce I'm leaving, and no more than 2 seconds later, you guys are fucking ripping the show apart. Let's move on, man.
All right, good evening, folks, and welcome to RP Bumpers.
It'll just be a collection of bumpers for the show.
All right, break. Read the next story, man.
Oh, man. Coming to us live from Destructoid, Mega Man Battle Network 2 coming to the Wii U. I don't think I played the second one. The first Mega Man Battle Network came to the Wii U Virtual Console a few months back, along with a bunch of other Mega Man games from Capcom.
Breakman, I gotta interrupt you here, man. This is purely English. There's no hard words, and somehow you managed to fuck it up, man.
And it's your favorite series.
Yeah, exactly, man.
He was so excited. That he
you both. I have feelings.
Oh, man.
No, you don't.
Continue on, right, man.
Okay, anyway, now it seems like...
You have testicles. You don't have feelings.
That's right. The author of this piece says that this is his favorite in the series. It's coming November 12th in Japan and outside Japan sometime maybe in 2014 if we're lucky.
No, it's just maybe not in 2014, so maybe next year.
But that's a maybe that it's not. So there's an off chance, very slightly, that it might come out this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never played any of the Battle Network games. Remember, that was around the time when Capcom was milking the Mega Man name so hard that I just become completely disgusted with it. And I was like, I went for a few years where I couldn't even play the original ones that I always liked, just because I was so just like, I'm done with Mega Man. It took a while for me to, kind of be like, okay, now that the glut is over with, of course, now there's this massive drought, but now that the glut is over with, I can go back and say, oh yeah, I still enjoyed these games.
Some people are wondering if Inafune was the large reason why it got milked to death, because if you've been paying attention to the all the info surrounding Mighty No. 9 and how they have plans for DLC for the game before it's even out. Basically, what they're doing now is they're doing Slackerbacker pre-order bonuses, and if they reach stretch goals within these pre-orders that they make, they'll add new features to the game that they couldn't do in the base Kickstarter.
That's cool.
Which is a lot of people are getting upset over. You're like, oh, they're being more greedy. They don't know how to manage money. This is more like, hey, we're going to take the pre-order money that we get from pre-orders and we're going to maybe do stuff with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but it's for a DLC character that's supposed to be the rival to Beck, and he's supposed to be named Ray, and he looks a lot like Zero in base.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, right. I mean, the game is, you know, it's it's got a slightly different, you know, core mechanic, you know, with the dashing through enemies and stuff. But it's like, you might as well be calling it, it's not Mega Man Honest.
Yeah, people are saying he's just giving Capcom the finger just to prove that Mega Man as a franchise is popular.
Good. Yeah.
All right, Stealth.
I'm sick of Capcom's bullshit on the subject. Like they, I'm sick of the way they do business. Like how they've done Street Fighter and how they did Mega Man. Like you said, they were overexploiting Mega Man for a while.
Yeah.
Oversaturated the net with the markets, and sales started to go down. You know,
that's why I didn't get the claims that.
Well, that was the funny thing.
It was the reason that Capcom run that series in the ground. It was Capcom that ran the series ground, not him. Even if Kamiya thinks that Inafune is just a businessman, I mean, he is. Who cares? He's still a developer. But and Kamiya.
Well, I mean, the thing is, that's not the first time. That's not the first time that they've done that. Is it, do you remember when?
Capcom's done this historically.
Street Fighter 2. Like when Street Fighter 2 cartridges on the Super Nintendo. They're like, "Oh, this will sell great." It's like, "No, I mean, it didn't sell cuz people were sick of, you know, it was like, okay, we've already bought this game twice."
Yeah.
That's just a fighting game.
That's what they're doing with Street Fighter 4 right now. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
Well,
it's like they never learn from their past mistakes.
Ultra. To be fair, no. I will say that while Ultra is not as, you know, it's like there's a lot of recycling that, you know, basically like, "Well, we made all this stuff for, you know, TXK or TXC or whatever it is. I'm cross-teching. Then it's like, okay, well, we can transplant that back into Street Fighter 4. It's like, okay, that's fine. You know, it's more characters to play as. I mean, Ultra is a substantive – it is a substantive update. And unless you're buying the retail edition, you're not paying full price.
It's a bigger update than Arcade Edition was.
Yeah, I mean,
if you're buying the retail edition, if you're just a retail consumer, like, if you're a mom who buys for your kids,
they make all new animations for the endings and the openings for each character?
I don't know, but I mean, I know that there was a lot of balance stuff that went on, but I mean, unless you're really, you know, you're a major Street Fighter player, that's not really gonna make much difference to you. But either way, you know, it's like Capcom's—they've kind of got this thing where they just seem to kind of follow whatever trend. It's like, this is popular, so we need to just keep putting out more of it. And then there are other choices that they make where it's just like, what happened? You know, where'd that come from? They, like, a lot of people, you know, there are a lot of, like, you know, with Devil May Cry, you know, a lot of people hate DMC. Personally, I think
they call the new Dante Dante because,
yeah, I know. And see, the thing is, and personally, I think that's just – it's fanboy whining, because it's actually a pretty damn good game in its own right. It's got some amazing level design. And
plus, its story is amazingly stupid, but
– Well, the story of the Devil May Cry series.
Whoa, a Capcom game with an amazingly stupid story?
No, that's
never happened.
Like,
Devil May Cry, because the game itself takes itself too seriously, and the other Devil May Cry games were just cheese fests.
Well, it is, but the thing is, it's still pretty damn cheesy, but it's not in that overt, over the top, like, you know, directed by the guy who did Versus. It's like the action director from
Suda.
He was the one who did Snakes. What's
I'm
that?
Slipping on a Rockets Edition.
Yeah, well, it was, you know, but it was the same action director as the guy who did Devil May Cry 3.
Mm-hmm.
And who also did the Japanese movie, was also one of the, you know, I think the action director for the movie Versus, which is a fun little, you know, Japanese, you know, action zombie movie, which is, you know, it's, you know, low budget and it's, you know, it's silly and it's funny. But
problem with the plot is it felt like a teenager's conspiracy theorist dream or something.
Mm-hmm. All right,
like,
guys.
It's like paralleling the media with, like, that guy. He's obviously supposed to be
the level where you're inside, where you're basically inside of, like, a Fox TV promo spot. That was crazy. I mean, it's like, that's really, you know, that's really inventive. It's like, it, you know, even if you're, you know, a purist, quote unquote, you know, it's like, oh, it's to me, it was kind of like complaining that the Resident Evil movies weren't enough like the games stories, because the game stories and Resident Evil are shit. I mean, it's, you know, they're, it's B grade schlock, and it was never intended to be anything more than that.
And that concludes our Capcom hour.
Okay, I know we're getting way off. Capcom, Breath of Fire. I'm bringing it back to RPGs.
Okay, let's move on, guys.
Well,
Stealth.
I just wanted to say, like, as far as like saturating the market, when they're putting up Street Fighter 4 and then Super Street Fighter 4 and then Ultra Street Fighter 4 right next to one another, a parent who doesn't know any better is going to go into the store and say, "Didn't I just buy this game?"
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard for them to distinguish between something like that.
Although having that update as DLC, as, you know, like a $15 DLC pack, that is, you know, that I don't have a problem with.
I don't either. I don't. That's actually pretty good. I wish they'd.
I don't know why the retail version was like $20 more though. Like,
it right. also included all previous like costume DLC. All
right, guys, we have to move on.
Okay.
All right, Stealth, you're back. You got your links. All right, read the next story, please. Majora's Mask.
The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask 3D gets a special edition in Europe. A steel case, double-sided poster, and a pin badge.
Yay. How are they charging?
There's no price yet.
Probably an extra $10 for that nonsense.
I don't know.
When I first heard about this, it looked like it had more stuff that's mentioned here.
Like, it looks cool, though.
Yeah.
It does look cool.
I watched the comparison video. I've never actually played Majora's Mask.
Oh, it's so good.
But the comparison video, I was like, okay, it's not just a straight, you know, it's not just a straight port. They actually did some visual touching up to it.
Yeah, it's
just like the last one.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going with the same developers, though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, let's move on, guys, to the next story. This comes to us live from Silicon Era. Akiba's Trip hits PlayStation 4 on November 25th. Akiba's Trip, Undead and Undressed. Ugh, that sounds naughty. Will arrive on the PS4 on November 25th, Exceed announced today. The PS4 version will include new features, including a toy box mode that allows the player to begin the game with one of every item. Oh, okay.
So every dildo, every vibrator, every...
I'm pretty sure the game doesn't have those.
Yeah. You get the plugs, you get the
point. Anal beads.
Yeah, Frank, do you get the joke of the title of Akiba's Trip?
Right. Undead and undressed.
No. I mean just the first part.
No, I don't.
Well, Akihabara is a shopping strip.
Yeah,
No.
That's actually not it. Akihabara is the big, you know, geek mecca shopping district in Japan. It's known as Akiba. That's how they abbreviate it. Mm-hmm. But it's like Akiba's Trip, as in like a trip to Akiba. But it's also Akiba Strip, as in you're running around Akiba and you're attacking these things and you're stripping the clothes off of these, you know, vampires.
Okay, I get it.
They're supposed to expose their skin to the sunlight to kill them or something.
Yeah.
So there you go. Eric... Next story, please.
No, I want to know more about this taking the clothes off. Let's.
There's a video.
I have the Vita version. I haven't played it yet, though.
Yeah, there's a video review over on Game Trailers. You can check it out there.
Yeah. All right. Next story.
Well, I gotta go, guys. I'll be back later.
next story.
Go ahead, Eric.
Atelier Verona. And it's for the 3DS this time. And apparently, that's all we know about it, other than the fact that it might actually be a spin-off, so there might be a point to playing it, and it's not just another port of the game.
Hmm. Okay.
And all the characters are in a chibi-like look.
Looks okay. Looks all right.
And the aliasing looks like garbage.
Hmm.
And the what looks like garbage?
Aliasing.
Oh, okay.
Aliasing, yeah. I haven't seen video of it. But...
characters with really thick lines and blurriness.
That sucks. But
it might just be these pictures. It might look better in motion.
All right, that's something to look forward to. Break. Let's go to the next story, man.
Oh, sorry, I was in chat. Coming to us live from Silicon Era. Codename Steam arrives on Nintendo 3DS Spring 2015. I was about to get into chat anyway. About the talk and stuff, and then you interrupted. I mean, Codename Steam, the Nintendo 3DS strategy game by Intelligent Systems, will be released spring 2015. Nintendo announced this morning, which is November 5th, which is a couple days ago, Wednesday.
If Europe gets a game in May, that means we'll probably get it again in April.
All right, then. Nintendo first announced codename Steam at E3 and revealed that it would blend turn-based strategy with third-person shooter elements in a manner similar to Valkyria Chronicles.
The game
Valkyria Chronicles. Yeah. The game will allow you to play as a wide variety of characters, including Abraham Lincoln. What? I'm sorry, Abraham Lincoln?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the lion from The Wizard of Oz.
Say what now? That's fuck?
Bizarre. Tiger Claw might be interested in this game. It's got a furry character in it. So
Abraham Lincoln and the lion.
I think we just broke him.
He's broken. Well, he's already break man.
And Dungeon Buster says Abraham Lincoln Alien Hunter.
Yeah. Oh man.
My head hurts. I gotta go take a nap.
Yeah, take a nap. Let's see him right after your CVS lotion.
Where's Professor Screw on Head?
And that's the actual name of it. Codename Steam. That's the name of the damn game. It's not.
Steam's an acronym.
Yeah.
But there are no periods between the letters.
Yeah.
What it's supposed to be.
That's bullshit. How dare they?
All right, Eric.
If they put a period after each one and make it stretched out and ugly looking, it's cleaner that way.
All right, Eric. What do we got?
I like STALKER, clear skies.
Anyways, next we've got Xenoblade Chronicles X will release in Japan in spring. Well, Xenoblade X, that's what it's called in Japan. That's what I'm going to continue to call it. Fuck Chronicles. It doesn't need to be there. It makes it sound like it's a series of short stories when it's a long narrative.
Right.
Yeah, but what about Dragonlance Chronicles? That was one long story.
Yeah, one long.
It was a trilogy. Biatch.
See, it was called a Chronicles there because, like you said, it was three books that they threw into. I've seen the really fat, thick book version of it that's like 1,000 or over 1,000 pages long.
You saw the fat, thick version of it, yeah. Eric.
He saw the Dragon's Lance, and it was very fat and very thick.
It was a Dragon's Lance story.
Oh man! All right.
But we don't need to talk about details of this game. It just takes place on a planet, and you make your own character, male or female.
Yeah. All right. Stealth.
It's especially like a video game.
Yep. Stealth. You're next.
What's the next one? I just zoned out.
Son of a bitch, man.
Apparently, it's still targeting a 2015 release.
Gundam. The Gundam story stealth.
Wait, I don't have that. Gundam?
Kamen Rider.
Common.
Or Common.
I'm not even seeing that on the list.
All right, Eric. Yeah, why don't you read that?
I don't know why he doesn't have it, but... All right. Anyways, it says Gundam, Kamen Rider, and Ultraman are going dungeon crawling again. Lost Heroes brought characters. Lost Heroes.
Saw it in clothes.
It's Lost Heroes. It's not Kamen Rider.
No, that's what he was going by. What the headline said.
Yeah, fuckface.
Anyways, it was announced during Nintendo's Direct for Japan, and it probably isn't coming to the U.S. But it's Lost Heroes 2. And it's slated for release in February. If you're in that side of the world, you can pick that up. And maybe you can call our show and tell us all about it. So we never got to experience the original. And we probably won't for this. Anyways, it will have characters like Ultraman Ginga, Kamen Rider Wizard, Unicorn Gundam. So yeah.
I'm sorry, what? Did you just say Unicorn Gundam?
Yeah, there's a series called Gundam Unicorn.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I watched it.
It's a good series, but it's like...
I've seen all Gundam.
Six episodes with like... that are like 2.5 hours of length. So they're practically movies.
Is it worse than the Chibi Gundam show, whatever?
What do you mean it's better than that garbage? We're talking about the CG SD Gundam.
Yeah, that one. God, that was terrible.
Defender Gundam was
that was so bad.
Was that brought to the US and it had a terrible dub, but it was also a bad concept. There are better SD Gundam cartoons that we never got.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, SD Gundam as a as a concept is actually pretty cool, but it's
I imagine you could make a really good comedy out of it and stuff, but this was not that. This was funny because of how bad it was.
So we're not getting this here. All right.
But if you want to buy it and you're in Japan, it's going to cost you about 5,690 yen, which is about $70.
Oof.
And it comes with a code to download an extra 3DS game, Lost Heroes Bonus Edition, which is a rebalanced version of Lost Heroes with voice acting. Wow.
Lost Heroes, I haven't heard of that in a long time. That's a pretty good game. All right.
Never played Lost Heroes.
Yeah, I played Lost Heroes before, man.
I don't even know what you're talking about. That game never came to the US.
It doesn't matter, Eric. I'm not impervious to playing imports, man.
You played an import of a 3DS game? Where's
possibly
hidden Japanese 3DS that you speak of?
What is that game? It's Lost Heroes. It's a Dungeon Buster would know. And
are you
Gripper
thinking about
know.
Guardian Heroes?
No,
that's a brawler.
I'm thinking of this game,
Lost Kingdom.
Lost Kingdom. You got
that
it.
That has nothing to do with the dungeon.
All right, never mind. Next story, Stealth. Prinny.
Prinny Research Squad has weird looking characters. I have no idea what this is
name.
Actually.
Wait, no, wasn't that called Ruin Kingdom or something?
Lost Kingdoms. Go ahead, Stealth.
It's a tie into this guy Five. I'm not even sure what exactly this is. Is it like a
it's
flash
a
thing? What is this?
Fuck if I know, man.
It's a I think it's supposed to be for an iOS thing. No, it's a browser game.
Oh.
But people are making their own printies. Some of them are horrifying.
I like the fishnet stocking one. Yeah, they're all pretty horrifying. Like the flan one at the end and the fishnet stocking printy. That's pretty special. I put it up for people in chat to see.
I like the cat one, and I like... Well, even though it's kind of creepy, there's like one that's black and white old Japanese manga style that he looks like he's Golgo 13 or something.
And there's a slime one, there's an octopus one, there's a
Well,
space
that's
one.
I don't know what, I forget what they're called in the retranslation, but I know in Dragon Warrior they were called Babbles.
Okay.
Oh, I love Babbles.
All right, Bray.
Especially the metal Babbles. Man, get some fucking experience from them bitches.
Break, what do we got next?
We got a story coming to us live from Silicon Era, because it wouldn't be this show if I didn't read something from Silicon Era. Japanese action RPG Airship Q turns you into a cat in 2015. I get my wish come true. Yay! Oh, never mind. Japanese indie studio Miracle Positive will be releasing its 2D sandbox action RPG Airship Q in 2015. Essentially, it's a Japan-made version of Terraria.
Terraria.
There are two main differences, though. You play as a cat person, and you spend a lot of your time reproducing with females. Wait, that's not what I said. You spend a lot of your time flying around in an airship. But wait, you're a cat. You sleep and you fuck and you eat, right?
Well, there's also shitting and pissing.
That happens in between.
It's interesting, though, because I watched the video and it was being presented in English, so I guess they have an eyes on releasing it in the West.
Good.
Your mission is to find the Empress so that you can be transformed back into a human and return to Earth. Well, that doesn't sound any fun. But you don't know where she is, so you have to venture out into the wide world to learn what you can. Do they not have an internet and Google?
Looks really good. Like,
With other sandbox games, the world is randomly generated and you're able to collect resources to craft items, weapons, and much more, as well as construct your own vehicles. Ooh.
Hmm.
There are enemies that can that you'll need to fight, including sky pirates and bosses. See, I wasn't off base when I said R ship Q. But you can always bring in friends to play alongside you when the going gets tough. In other words, the people that I need because I suck. Airship Q was successfully funded on Japanese crowdfunding site I'll just go with whatever you said. And soon after receiving 70 million yen in funding from Cygames, you can find out more on its website.
Looks pretty cool. It's kind of a Minecraft platformer type is what it looks like to me.
Looks like a PC game too.
Yeah, it looks cool. It looks really cool. I suggest checking out the trailer. It looks worth bringing over here to North America.
Man, I just want to be a cat. Sleep all day, get up, watch some television, have somebody rub your belly, and then go back to sleep.
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
Shit
being
piss.
Being unable to taste sweet.
Who cares, man?
Cats, I know. Who cares when you never have to work, you have no responsibilities, people don't expect anything from you because they know you won't come if you call them.
Right.
Come here, kitty. Come here. Fuck you. I'm sleeping.
No human drama. Yeah, exactly. All right, let's move on to some more drama here, guys, from Siliconera. Zelda 2, spiritual successor, Elliot Quest, is coming to the Wii U in early 2015. Mexican developer. That is highly
unusual. Let's get him on the show.
Why not? You guys get him on the show. Ansemu's Games.
Well,
has announced.
He speaks English.
I'm sure they do, man. Ansemu's Games has announced that it has finished production on its action adventure Elliot's Quest, and it will be coming to Wii U and Ouya in early 2015. Its first release on PC in December 2014, though. So PC gets it first. They call it a spiritual successor to The Adventure of Link. In it, you play as Elliot as he traverses the dangerous Ural Island in search of an ancient demon that is consuming his vitality. Elliot needs to confront the demon and find a way to cure the curse it has cast upon him, otherwise he will turn into a satyr.
Not Satan?
Yeah, of course, yeah. It's not Satan.
And satyr sounds like a play on words of satyr.
Yeah, you're right. Aside from that grim end, the curse causes Elliot to be plagued by nightmares, to grow weaker by the day, and renders him unable to kill himself. Like, that's so
I don't
depressing.
Know how growing weaker by the day will work when there's a level-up system.
I don't know. There are 5 dungeons to get Elliot through, 16 bosses to battle, as well as puzzles to solve, and lots of treasure to find. There are some light RPG elements mixed in, allowing you to level up and customize Elliot's abilities, including various magic spells. It will cost $10 on Windows, Mac, and Linux when it's released next month. And
oh, I know how they'll make him weaker. It'll be story weakness only.
Yeah, of course.
It's like he'll suddenly fall ill or something.
It's very pixelated.
How in the hell did they come up with that name?
Ansemus?
What Ansemus. In the hell is Ansemus?
It's got to be some Mexican company.
I don't know. I googled it, and the only thing I can find is this company.
Maybe it's an amalgamation of words. I'd have to think about it for a while. But I'm sure it means something. But all right, Eric, last story.
Last story. Not the game. Anyways.
Yeah, not the game.
Death's Gambit looks like a 2D Shadow of Colossus.
Looks great.
Death's Gambit is an upcoming 2D action RPG that will hopefully be funded through Kickstarter soon. It's impossible to talk about Death's Gambit without mentioning Shadow of the Colossus due to there being so many similarities. Well, in these pictures, it doesn't give me the impression that there are giants unless you're standing on it or something. But
So this isn't like a hookup like Gambit and the Devil team up comic.
No.
Okay, never mind.
Anyways,
I was grabbing the straws. I was just hoping.
It says you can take down Colossi by chasing him down on a horse and leaping onto them with a hook shot, and then taking him down by destroying weak points in around their body.
Mm. Sounds exactly like Shadow of the Colossus.
Yep. Although you'll also have to deal with normal sized adversaries.
Well, that does not.
Hmm.
And right. It's an RPG, so although I bet there'll be level up stuff. And you can use a plasma gun.
This is definitely like Shadow of the Colossus, man. If you look at the GIF that they have a link to, I'm putting it up on the screen now. You have to like grab on to the side of this fucking large ass Colossus type thing and shoot its weak points. That's exactly
and
what you
do. There's no platforms announced, but I'm going to assume it's PC with stretch rules for consoles. Which they'll probably make, because it looks good.
Yeah, it does look good, man. No question. All right, so that's the news. Any discounts that anybody knows of?
No, not that I know of.
All right, any Twitter questions? Break.
Oh, there was a Twitter comment I missed from a week ago. Let me get back into Twitter, and I'll bring that up in a moment. We just didn't have – we ran out of time last week.
Okay. Go ahead and
I couldn't tell that there was the Colossus in the backgrounds of these pictures because he was in the background and he blended it with the mountains.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, let me see here. I gotta go back a little bit. Because this was from last week. It was from blah, 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 blah. Not finding it. shit on it. God damn it. Why can't I find it when I want it?
Hey, I want to make mention of something. Freak5KS, I forgot to mention your Facebook post for Dead Men Talking. I know this is RP Grinders, but I know you're going to be listening. And I did see it. I just forgot to mention on the show. We were so involved with Walking Dead that I didn't. I just spaced it. So, anyways.
I found it. It comes from Freak 5 Chaos, in fact.
All right.
He said, listening to the latest show, which was not last week's show, but the week before, Brake says he has known many waiters. Is that in the biblical sense? Yes. And they live off of his tip. Just a tip. Give
him a little bit. Oh, Brake, how you set yourself up for such...
but there are actually more from Freak 5 Chaos.
All right.
Freak 5 Chaos, after the Halloween episode, I feel the need to retweet a thought I had last week. Mr. Hands was a brony before it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, for the names of the Halloween episode, I would have gone with Stealth the Stalker.
Just Stealthy Stalker.
Who's Mr. Hands?
Oh, man, that's great.
I'm going to have to re-listen to that episode because I don't know either. I'm just like, what?
That's awesome, man. That's Freak 5, good on you, man. We're listening, honest man. That was really good. I appreciate that because Stealth runs roughshod, you know. Don't you, Stealth? He's like not even listening. He's fucking watching.
Yeah, I'm just letting you guys talk it up.
All right, Stealth. What have you been playing, man?
I finished Borderlands. I'm not sure if I told you that.
Oh yeah.
I was playing Borderlands, the pre-sequel.
I'm jealous. I want to play it. Silence? What? I say that and everybody shuts up? What the fuck?
So is it any good?
Sorry, guys.
You guys were acting like I said I raped somebody or something. You're just like, holy fuck, did you just say that?
Sorry, guys.
It's average.
I had to let my Hellcat out. She was meowing.
Did Breakman just say he killed somebody? What the fuck?
I was watching a Young Turks video where this guy killed this woman, his live-in girlfriend, and he posted pictures on 4chan. I'm like, really, fucker? All right.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
When did this happen?
It really recent, man. Like, super recent. Like, it wasn't... God,
what is wrong with fucking people?
Dude, I don't know. This guy was mentally ill or something.
I know. It's one thing, like, to kill somebody and then to brag about it is a whole other level of evil.
Yeah. All right, Brake.
Bragging about it is just another step. Posting pictures of it on a public website.
Yeah.
That's a special kind of stupid.
Yep. All right.
Stupid, and you have to be really like evil to do something like that because you're looking at those pictures. You're kind of bragging about it. You're thinking about your work.
Yep.
You're like, oh man, I did such a good job. Oh, when I stabbed her right underneath her elbow.
Yeah.
Oh, that was such a good stab.
She looks so natural.
Yeah.
When I stabbed her in the heart and her eyes bulged and I could see the tears running down. Yeah. Oh,
yeah,
God.
It's fucked up. All right, Brake. Exactly. What have you been playing, man?
I've been playing Borderlands 2. That's why I got so excited for Borderlands the pre-sequel. Obviously, I am a Borderlands fan here, not Stealth.
I can never tell you two apart.
What's that?
I can never tell you two apart anyway.
Don't insult Stealth like that.
Oh, man. That's fucking awesome, man.
Stealth does not deserve that. Take that back.
No.
All right, what else, Brake?
Actually, I kind of have a question on that. I haven't had time to look because I was just kind of thinking about it today. I'm level 52, and the original level cap was 50. I think it's like 70 or 60 now. I'm not sure which one it is. But the weapons I've been getting are all capping out at level 50. Is that what's supposed to be? I mean, is that what they capped out at? Or did they make any, like, level, you know, above 50 guns?
No, fuck if I know, man.
See, I don't know either. I'm kind of wondering. And then I've been playing, go ahead.
Plants vs. Zombies 2.
Yes, that's right. I know I hadn't been playing in a while, but they added they've started adding another stage, another level. The kind of the 60s, 50s beach party level. So it's a water level, and it's fun. Actually, I like it a lot better than the medieval times one.
Hey, Brake, I'm going to buy Halo Collection, and I'm going to rub it in your face every week.
Mug, what have you been playing?
I don't want to do this anymore, and I wasn't done.
Oh, you're not done. I'm sorry, Brake.
I was also playing Final Fantasy IV.
Pretty
close to the end, and then I noticed that there are some bonus features, like augments or something, that you can get to buff your characters, and I'm like, wait, what the hell did I miss?
I told you about that.
A couple of times.
Fuckers.
That kind of makes the game better.
And there's like a game plus.
Although
stuff.
If you decide to use them, though, you pretty much have to commit to keep continuing to use them, otherwise you will be at a disadvantage.
All right.
Gotcha.
So you're close to finishing that break.
Yeah, but like I said, right now I'm backtracking to get some of the augments, and then I'm probably, after I beat it, I might start a new game plus, so I don't know.
All right. That's...
Instead of playing the backlog of games I have waiting for me, I keep playing.
I hate that when you're like so enamored with the game you can't get to your backlog, man. It fucking sucks.
Be smart about who you give your augments to, too.
Right. All right, Mug.
Well, I've been playing a little bit of Transistor here and there. I've mostly gotten distracted by watching Californication on Netflix.
It's a great show, man.
It is. I'm just now up to season 6, where Tim Minchin should be showing up, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Yep. All right. Let's see. Eric, what have you been playing?
Been playing Fantasy Life and Whoa, Dave, and I also played Volgar the Viking, and the review's up on BostonBastardBrigade.net.
Cool. I think you mean Second Life.
No.
We know about you. We know about you. Don't try to deny it.
Wait, there's a game?
There's a game called Fantasy Life.
There's a game called Whoa, Dave?
Eric, sometimes humor escapes you, man. Like, it just goes right over your head, man. All right, anything else?
I know about Second Life. It's just whatever.
What the hell is Whoa, Dave?
And I don't even think anybody plays Second Life anymore.
It's a video game version of a really bad Eddie Murphy movie.
No. It's a Whoa, Dave is a game that's it's made by Choice Provisions, and it's basically a Mario Brothers clone.
Mug, you just made my day, man. That was fucking fantastic reference, but, man.
Yeah. I got what you said there.
I played a little Dragon Quest VIII. That's about it. But it's still the greatest game of all time. It is fucking great. I love it.
What the hell, man? There's all these other games to play, and you keep going back.
Dude, I haven't.
You're playing an old game, and you have a bunch of games in your backlog that you should be playing.
Yeah, at least I'm playing like my backlog stuff.
I need to play it again, right? Every once in a while, I gotta go back to Dragon Quest VIII, right? I mean, it's a staple of mine. So
I was gonna say, anyone who's been playing Plants vs. Zombies 2 for the past weeks has no right.
Last year,
he's been playing it in addition to Borderlands 2.
Right.
That came out last year, and they've constantly updated it. Like I said, they just added a new world. Half of it. They're still in the process of adding it. I imagine it'll be out before the end of the year. But they constantly update this game, and the game you played last year, as far as Plants vs. Zombies, is a completely different game.
You sound like such an apologist for Plants vs. Zombies.
I am.
Too,
I don't fucking care. I love Plants vs. Zombies 2. PopCap is one of my favorite developers, and they've hit it out of the fucking park with this game.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And the constant updates of this game, just amazing.
Ugh, you and my son.
Plants vs. Zombies 2. I will suck your.
Suck it.
Yep, you're definitely sucking on that teat, man. All right, let's move on. We gotta move on.
Now I would have chosen in that sentence.
Hey, is Stealth back? Stealth, you back? Stealthy one. No, he's not back. All right, we're moving on to Stinkos.
Now he was back, and then he went BRB again.
Yep. All right, Eric, do you have any Stinkos?
We must bore him.
It's part of the
course. Can we fire Stealth? He sounds like he never wants to be here.
Stealth, you're fired. All right, Eric, Stinko of the week, man. Do you have one?
No.
All right. Break.
Other than the fact I haven't got back my failed to deliver to the person who I was supposed to sell this item on eBay to, and he told me he didn't want it, but I had already shipped it out.
Fucker.
And then didn't even get to him.
That sucks. Well,
so I don't know how long I'll have to wait before the post to send it back.
Hopefully they'll send it back to you. All right. Stealth is not here.
That was over a week ago.
Stealth isn't here, and he specifically said he had a great Stinko this week, and motherfucker.
Well, we'll get back to him. He'll be back.
All right, break.
Yeah, my other Stinko is Frank leaving.
What can you do?
Oh, that's my sweeto.
No. I mean, what? You son of a bitch,
wow,
break.
Man. Kick a man when he's down. That's the best time to do it.
Break wants to take over the world when you're gone.
It's true.
Good luck with that.
Everybody
all right, break.
Wants to rule the world.
That was horrible, Moria. Please never sing again on the show.
No,
break.
He's allowed. I'm not allowed. I'm not allowed to ever sing.
Break.
Mine goes to election season.
Ugh,
the fucking attack ads, the signs in people's yards, the campaigning, the people going door to door, shaking hands.
Right. I can understand all of it except for the signs, right? Has anybody, driven down the road?
I got a complaint with the attack ads because a lot of times attack ads are just lies.
Well, they're all lies, right?
Well,
but that's to be expected.
That should be fucking illegal.
It's not illegal.
Technically, it is illegal, but they don't really, nobody ever bothers to push.
No, it's protected under First Amendment.
I mean, it is slander.
That's the thing is, not everybody knows they're lying. And the reason attack ads...
No, they don't. That's the thing.
TAC ads are so popular is because they work.
Yeah.
Well, look, here's the deal.
The average voter believes what they hear on television, what their parents have told them.
Right. Here's the deal.
Fox tells us.
MSNBC. It is illegal, but politicians...
CNN doesn't know what they're doing.
Technically, it is illegal, but politicians know what they can get away with, and that's why they do it.
People naturally tend to, they allow their confirmation bias to rule their senses. They believe what agrees with what they are, with what they already believe, and they ignore what contradicts it.
Yeah,
the
deal.
There's a good example of that here.
Isn't that what Gamergate is?
Yes.
Well, locally, in Kentucky, right across the river from me. There was a big contest going on, and I've heard about it all fucking month long. The attack ads have gone back and forth, and I've heard lies from both sides. But if you go and talk to people, it just depends on what party they are, what
they
believe.
Have you ever seen a campaign ad for the Green or Libertarian parties?
I don't want to see them, man. I'd just rather not. They're pretty sad. All right.
Here's
the deal. Here's the only problem that I have. I understand. I actually understand attack ads, right? I mean,
I understand they work. Why? I would do them if too.
Right. Here's the
deal. Can I attack dogs instead?
Here's the deal.
That would make election season a lot more entertaining.
The only real problem that I have with what you just said, Break, is the fucking stupid ass signs that people put up in yards, right? Nobody, and I mean zero. All right, and I'm pretty confident in this, is driving down the road and sees the sign and says, you know what? I'm going to vote for that person.
That's not why they have those signs. Those signs are in their yard to say if I'm a Republican or a Democrat, basically.
I think there is one other point to them, and I can only say this because it's happened to me. It's like where I see something and I was like, okay, I'm not familiar with that name. I should go look that up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll go and then I'll do a little bit of research. And the thing is, I don't imagine most people do that because most people can't be bothered to think, you know, beyond what they're having for dinner that night.
Mm-hmm. The problem is most people have already decided who they're voting for.
Yeah. And it's usually,
which is why I like what happens
whether or not they are for pro-life or anti-choice.
Right.
It's usually whether they're a Republican or a Democrat. That's all it is.
Yep.
They don't care about anything else.
Right. You're right.
If you're in the same party, that's who they're voting for.
You're absolutely right.
And they might actually make excuses as to why they always vote Republican. I always vote for the person I think is going to do the best job, yet the person you think is always doing the best job is always from the Republican Party, the same party you're a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I hate the party system.
Democrat,
party system because it stunts critical thinking. It really
does.
Like you can't think outside the box.
I'm
afraid
to research any of these candidates because I'm afraid I'm being lied to there.
Yeah, for
sure. You are. I shouldn't say every because there are some candidates who really do get into it and are honest. But once you get up to like congressional level, there's no honesty anymore. But I'm talking about local politics.
Nah, even local, dude. Mayor, fucking attorney general.
Most of them are crooked. I'm saying –
I voted
House
rep, and I pretty much just randomly guessed because I don't know. I feel bad.
You had the power of election in your hands, and you started guessing.
Yeah.
All
right.
That's the reason I don't vote. Like I'll go. Election day, which was Tuesday.
Most of them were running unopposed, but some of them were. There were a couple of seats that were.
All right, let's shelve the election talk.
I typically voted Democrat because I knew most of the Republican ones.
Okay, let's
table. I know how Ohio Republicanism works.
Let's table this. Election talk.
Stealth has
a
stinko to do.
We can talk all day about this. Stealth has a very urgent and important stinko. Stealth
diarrhea.
Yeah.
Well, it's not urgent, but it's just kind of a story that really sucked.
Right. Go ahead.
Okay, so I sell stuff on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't get into the specifics, but I sold something for about $180.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was local, so he asked me if we could pick it up. So, which was fine. So we agreed on the police station, which so I don't get like stabbed or anything. I'm sure you could understand that.
Uh-huh.
So we exchanged it. And then about a week later, I get a charge back on my PayPal.
What?
And essentially what happened is the person's mother had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And because I did it locally, apparently, like, you need, like, the tracking number. Otherwise, that's, like, the only proof there is.
What?
So, I lost $180.
And you don't get the device back.
Well, I'm trying to contact this guy, but I haven't heard back yet.
That's bullshit. I would put in a dispute with eBay or whatever company you use, man. I would fight that shit, man. That's a lot of money.
eBay/PayPal, it's hell getting money back out of something like that.
It's you know, believe me, I've tried.
That's a bunch of bullshit, man. That sucks, Stealth. That's bullshit, man. You should have.
That's a good stinko, right?
That's a great stinko, man.
I mean,
it's not as good as mine or Mugs. Mugs, you go first, man.
Well, for my stinko, I would like to point out every single one of you fuckers out there who did not vote on Tuesday.
Who cares?
It wouldn't have mattered. Tuesday, I tried to get in that story, but I was cut short.
It wouldn't have mattered, man. Honestly,
it would matter if more people voted. You have voter turnout of lower than 40%.
Dude, Mug, just think about this. Let's say you had 60%, right? Of those, half of them probably were Republican and half of them were Democrat. It wouldn't have mattered, man. Honestly.
It makes a difference.
It doesn't make a difference.
Not voting is not rebellion. Not voting is surrender.
No, I disagree. I voted, but the way that the election went here, it wouldn't have mattered if 20,000 of us voted Democrats.
I kind of agree with not voting as surrendering. I've surrendered because this system is far beyond it. It needs to be flushed down and started over. The system is broken in every single way.
Has anybody heard of the Wolf Pack?
Yes. Turks.
Wow, dude, they were fucking awesome. I love Kevin Nash and Scott Hall.
No, not that one.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, fucking break, man. Bringing out the wrestling reference. Awesome.
Yeah, okay.
Dungeon Buster
it's
says...
It's basically a lobby to get campaign finance reform done.
Yeah, and let's clarify. Dungeon Buster actually lives in Ohio too, so he kind of knows what me and Eric see too. Like,
does I didn't know that.
Well, he looks at the candidates and says, you know what, these both suck. Who am I supposed to choose?
Yeah, just the one like for my state rep, he was going against a Republican who was for businesses and low government, and we know what that means.
Right.
I know enough about politics to know what they're really saying.
Right, Dungeon Buster says
that's what I really hate too. Is the Republicans have a good speech about like anti-government?
Yeah, we're gonna
stuff
do
like
all
that,
these things
not about anti-government.
Only we're looking out for ourselves. Yeah, we're gonna do these things, but they're gonna benefit us and nobody else.
Here's how it goes.
I am a person who doesn't like big government. I like a small government, but that's not the way it is.
No,
but that's not the way it's gonna be. As long as
government should be so small that it doesn't exist in the first place.
Dungeon Buster says stealth. That's incredible BS. It totally is.
Yeah, stealth got screwed. Sorry, stealth. I was reading, but
he also says looking at the candidates, it's simply choosing the lesser evil. Most of them are terrible. That no question. Wyland says two party system makes it worthless. I've been railing against this forever, Wyland.
Did anybody vote for Mike in Ohio? Did anybody?
Okay,
I didn't study this guy, but I want to
know. The thing is, the problem that the Democrats have is that they are very poor at getting their base motivated to vote.
Hmm.
And the Republicans are terrible at finding candidates who should be in office.
Right. Democrats
Democrats are terrible at finding candidates who can get in office.
The Republicans
are going to have a big voter problem like in the next 10 years.
Let me,
because their major turnout voter base is older people.
Yeah.
Let me
older people start to die off, they're going to have a lot harder time getting in office.
Let me put it in perspective for
everybody. You know what I think was funny? That most of the Democrats try to appeal to the Christianity of the voters.
Yeah. Well, always funny to me is when the candidates always try and distance themselves from the president.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones who did that were the ones who fucking lost.
Yeah. It happens every time, too. Like, Democrats are like, oh no, I didn't vote for Obama. I don't know what you're talking about.
Look,
just like Republicans are like, Bush who? I don't know any Bush.
Right. Here's the problem. We're sitting here talking about Democrats and Republicans, right? Wyland hit the nail on the head. Two-party system makes it worthless. It absolutely is worthless, man.
And corporatism makes it even more worthless.
It's bullshit. It's total BS. It stunts critical thinking. You can't think outside the box. You have to vote party line. That's what's wrong with the entire political process, and I hate it. I absolutely fucking hate
the political process. I demand anarchy.
I agree. I totally agree.
But the thing is, the simple fact is that you have, you know, Ted Cruz is going to be the head of the House or Senate Science Subcommittee.
Okay.
Think about what that means.
That means NASA's going to get its budget cut.
Republicans who – you've got these Republicans.
NASA's not going to get its budget cut. It's going to get flushed down the toilet.
Probably.
But I mean
will.
Like you have Republicans who were voted into office who were like these – I mean like very close to violently anti-gay, and you have this – we have a new state senator in here in South Carolina, a senator or representative, who is who's all pissy and is trying to push for creationism to get put into schools,
right?
And you know, and I'm sorry, I have kids in school. I've got a stake in this. We all have a stake in this, whether we, you know, whether we admit it or not.
Mm.
And you know, I've got a serious problem here.
Right, I totally agree, but we don't have time to get into it. Look,
my
stinko of the week is grocery shopping. I hate it.
Ooh,
fucking
that's a
sucks.
Good one.
I hate it.
I hate how so few people are running the registers.
Yeah, it's bullshit. Any
especially at Walmart.
Walmart's the worst offender.
Well, Walmart at least has a self checkout.
Yeah. But on the flip side,
we don't have one at mine.
On the flip side,
this is my giant eagle And Nasha Biola has one.
On the flip side, my sweeto of the week is my grocery bill. I saved like half off my bill. I bought like $200 worth of groceries and I only painted like $107. So I did really good. So there you go.
So I always have a basic, you know, women shop, men buy things.
Mm, yeah.
Like, I have a plan of attack. I go in, I get what I wanted, and I leave.
All right, Mug, what's your sweeto?
My sweeto, I will, I got my utility bill, and it's $80 less than it was last month.
Nice. That's always a bonus.
When it was over $300. Yep. So I'm happy about that.
There you go.
Yeah, I had the same thing with my utility bill.
What's your sweeto break?
What the fuck? That's kind of weird.
Like it was the weather's changing. I mean, like not running AC constantly or anything like that. Mm. At least that's what it was for me anyway.
You're probably right.
All right, break your sweeto.
My sweeto goes to the end of election season because it's fucking over. Thank God.
Yes,
that is the one upside. At least we don't have to do. You know, but yeah, now there's the anxiety over like, oh great, what now?
All right, Eric, your sweeto.
Review code came in.
Oh, cool.
That you know, it was cool that I actually managed to get on Namco or Bandai Namco's PR list at all.
Yeah. Dude, that is cool.
Dungeon Buster said it's going to be another 2 years of do nothing Congress. You betcha. Oh,
I also applied to Way Forwarding on their PR list.
Oh, cool. All right, Stealth, do you have a sweeto? Nothing, apparently. All right.
Dude, after that stinko, do you expect them to have a sweeto?
Mug, did we do your... Yeah, we did your sweeto. All right, reviews. Yeah, we did. Didn't you say your bill?
Yeah, the utility bill's much lower than it was previously.
Yeah.
Okay, review.
Reviews. Eric.
My review for Professor Layton and the Eternal Diva. This movie actually came out back in 2009 because it takes forever from anything in the Layton series to come to the West, but eventually came out like a year or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
I actually can't remember when exactly. I think I bought it a year ago. But what sucks is that the U.S. got screwed out of the Blu-ray release and you can only get the DVD one. I'm not sure if Manga Entertainment actually was responsible for that or not. I'd have to look at it. But they did the Blu-ray release in Europe. And I can't just import the Europe Blu-ray because it's Region B, which locks me out of playing it unless I had a Region B or Blu-ray player, and I don't. But I don't want to buy one because I'm lazy like that. But and not to mention it's hard to find in the first place. But at least for reasonable price. But this movie, it's set up kind of like a game. The way it's like set up like a game is kind of funny because like the person who's trapped them on this boat is making them do puzzles. But he's like he lists it off as 001, and then he only does 3 of them. So like it's like you gave us the intention that you were going to do 100 of these, but you only have time to do so many of them. So why would you take the time to pronounce the other zeros and just make it, you know, 03 or whatever, or just say 3.
Mm-hmm.
But basically it's about this girl who contacts Professor Layton, and basically she wanted to look into this matter involving people getting the ability to have an eternal life, because apparently one of her friends who supposedly died had contacted her through a little girl. Apparently she inhabited her body somehow. But it turns out at the end that that's not quite the case as most Layton stories go. I mean, not most, all. But in Layton 2, it was more like, oh, we were hallucinating this entire time. But oh well. Anyways, it's a fairly decent film, and I'd have to give it an 8.5. And although I did think it was weird that even though there was an English dub for the movie, that the singing from, because this girl is apparently an opera singer, mm-hmm. and that's where the Eternal Diva comes from. But anyways, she was singing in Japanese. But it was like,
it was
done in
you,
such
Eric.
A way where, like, she wasn't saying very many words, but you could clearly tell it was a Japanese voice actress.
I have a question for you. What in your opinion, can you give me an example of a movie you'd rate a 5?
A 5?
Yeah.
That's
just a straight 5.
That's an average movie, right?
The Simpsons movie.
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah.
Okay. Just wondering. Just kind of wanted to get a baseline, because most of the reviews I've heard you say, you know, kind of seem kind of on the GameSpot, you know, scale.
Like on the high scale?
Well, it's like something. No,
it's just like, you know, if it's okay, it's a 7. You know, that was kind of the impression I got when you were, you know, talking about reviewing games.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I definitely go lower the more technical issues pop up in a game.
Yeah.
Okay,
I misheard you. You genuinely threw me off there for a second, because it sounded like you said, I generally go lower the more tentacle issues that pop up in a game.
Technical.
Oh my god, those tentacle issues. Jesus, they suck.
What is this, SpongeBob?
It's tentacle issues or just flat out bad game design decisions.
Yeah. He's been playing Eroge.
All right, we got something
like,
really.
You saw my review, or maybe you didn't. Maybe you, I had a review of Tenkai Knights for the 3DS recently. I forgot to mention that in games I've been playing, but that game is so broken. I can't believe this game was made by Namco Bandai Games, because
is it actually made by them or just published?
Yes, because they're listed as the developer on Game FAQs. Unless it's like, I guess it's their C team, because I don't think they have a D team, but the way it's set up is that it's kind of plays like Smash Brothers clone, but it's like they're small arenas where you have to kill a certain amount of enemies usually, but the animation for the attacking is so terrible that it actually affects gameplay, and you basically have to either use weak ranged attacks to avoid getting damaged, or you have to know how the wonky animation works in order to take advantage of the enemy's stupid AI and not get damaged all the time, and really take advantage of blocking, because the enemy can deplete your health pretty quickly.
All right,
and there's a lot of cheap shots, and when you knock down an enemy enough times, they'll get knocked down, and then they'll flash for an inordinate period of time.
They get up again.
Bonus.
Not when they get up, but like they'll get up, but they'll have like a brief invincibility frames that last a little too long.
You're never gonna keep them down.
Anyways, besides the fact that it's based on a very average anime show for kids.
All right, guys.
I love the way you said that with anime. Like, so much scorn. Like, damn, man.
All right, guys.
I don't hate anime, but it's like, you know.
I know. I know you don't. It's just the way you said it. It's like, some anime show for kids. You know, like,
well, you know how many anime games go.
I know. I'm just giving you shit. All
right, guys.
Especially ones in the collect them all vein.
All right. We got to move on, guys. We have a very special interview with Dave Welch from Experimental Gamer in the queue here. And it's a lengthy interview, but it's worth it. Stealth, myself, and Eric conducted it. And it's really interesting. It's about Boot Hill Heroes, which is out now.
Yes, appearance by Stealth.
Yeah. It's out now on Steam, and I think very shortly some other platforms. But I hope you guys enjoy this interview. I stumbled on my words quite a bit and I never do that. It's really weird, but here's the interview with David Welch of Experimental Gamer, talking about Boot Hill Heroes. Hope you guys enjoy. It's about 29 minutes, so it's a pretty long interview.
Hello, this is Dave.
Hey, Dave. How are you doing? You're on with Frank and Eric from RP Grinders. How are you doing today?
Great. I'm doing all right tonight.
All right. Dave Welch, you are the creator of the game Boot Hill Heroes from Experimental Gamer. You're also the co-founder and or founder of Experimental Games. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's basically how it went down, yeah.
I have a question for you, Dave. It mm-hmm. says in your bio that, I think it was on Kickstarter, that you quit your job to do this. How crazy is that, I guess, is the question.
Too crazy. I wouldn't recommend anyone else do something like that.
Was it a tough transition, Dave?
Not for me, because I was a freelance writer before I started making games, and it wasn't such a glamorous, high-paying thing anyway. And it's something that I guess I could have gone back to if I ever needed to. So it's not as dramatic as it sounds, I guess.
I've heard horror stories of freelance writers. I mean, that job in itself is pretty difficult. You got to be really good, either really, really good or really connected to make any sort of money in that business.
Yeah, it's a lot of putting yourself out there and marketing and being your own boss and making sure you do what you're supposed to, working from home or wherever you are.
Yeah. So how did you get this wacky idea to start your own video game company, Dave?
Well, I always wanted to make games, and I think I was inspired by just the general indie movement that we've seen the last few years of so many people that have been doing it. And I was interested in making games with people, but I never really thought that I could just do it by myself if I really wanted to. I always thought I'd need to eventually get a team together and find people that could do things that I couldn't. But then I just realized I can pretty much figure out how to do most of what I need to get done to make at least a kind of a simpler game.
Now, you're not a programmer. At least you weren't. I just have some questions about that, Dave. To me, I think it's incredibly admirable to just basically jump into something. Like, I wouldn't even know where to begin, Dave.
Well, I'd done some programming before, but it wasn't something that I had done for years and wasn't part of my daily life. So I had to do a lot of tutorials and starting from scratch and figuring out how it went along, but that's part of the fun, I guess, because you're learning a lot very quickly, so it's really exciting.
Mm-hmm. I would go crazy probably 15 minutes into it, but, you know, to each his own. So, RPGs. Why did you pick RPGs, Dave?
Well, they've always been my favorite genre. I like such as a police car going by. This is Chicago.
No worries.
I really like how RPGs are combine gameplay, story, and setting in the same way. Like it's like you get to explore a different world, and the gameplay is sort of like the mechanics of how you interact with that world, rather than just read about a different world or watch it in a passive medium.
Right. I've been a long time role-playing gamer, going back to even, pen and paper. Did you ever play Dungeons and Dragons and stuff like that? Or
yeah, I did a little bit of that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did that influence you into playing RPGs, like video game form, or did you just jump right in?
If anything, it was probably backwards. I got interested in tabletop RPGs from playing video game RPGs.
Uh-huh. What were some of your favorites growing up?
As far as video game RPGs?
Yeah, video game RPGs.
I think it's still Final Fantasy 3/6, and I play that game every few years, and I feel like it still holds up very well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot we could still learn from it today. What I consider my top. Mostly that things everyone would say: Chrono Trigger, Earthbound, Super Mario RPG, Secret of Mana. Yeah, what else? Lunar is a big one.
I always I'm going to add Stealth to the call too. He's another co-host of RP Grinders. Final Fantasy. I always ask this people, what's your favorite Final Fantasy? And this is kind of it'll kind of give away your age, is why I'm asking.
Dave. Yeah. I've noticed that people's favorite Final Fantasy is the one they played when they were 12.
Yeah.
ask someone their favorite Final Fantasy, you know exactly how old they are. So mine is a 3/6. So that tells you about how old I am.
Yeah, my favorite 6 as well. I mean, no question, those are some of the best.
Yeah, I want to say that it's just objectively best, but this 12-year-old rule seems to be so true that I maybe it is just a subjective perception of what's better and what's not.
Right. Let's get into Boot Hill Heroes. It's an interesting concept, one that I think more people should explore with RPGs. Wild West. Did you have a love for spaghetti westerns, and is that why you wanted to incorporate that into an old school RPG, Dave?
I did, but it was also just the fun of trying to tell a Wild West story through the classical RPG tropes of it all,
mm-hmm.
which sort of created like some interesting limitations of what you could and couldn't do with it.
Right. So
it also made it kind of easier because you have these set boundaries.
Right. I mean, you're not going to be bringing out flamethrowers and, you know, stuff like that in the Wild West game. But I got to imagine that it would be a ton of fun to work with that setting. And I always wondered why more people didn't do that. You always see the futuristic stuff or the, you know, like current day stuff or fantasy type settings. But a Wild West setting has rarely been done. I commend you for taking that tact with Boot Hill.
Yeah, I would like to see more games in that setting. I think the setting hasn't been fully explored yet, but there are still some great games that are in that setting.
Right. I remember there was a game, Wild Arms, that tried to take kind of a Wild West futuristic mm-hmm. type setting. But really, I mean, the depth that you have attained with Boot Hill Heroes has been rarely achieved. I mean, for better or worse, I mean, you know, people have to give you credit for trying that and at least experimenting with that setting. Why didn't you just do what most people do and use a fantasy setting, Dave?
There's probably a few reasons. One, because I'd always just been interested in the idea of exploring a Wild West theme in an RPG kind of world.
Mm-hmm.
And I just always liked that genre, and I wanted to do something that's a little bit different than what we've seen before.
Right. I mean, I've very rarely seen this type of setting in RPGs, especially. I mean, you've seen games like Red Dead Revolver that are more action orientated. Did you take any inspiration from those type of games?
I think I've played a little bit of Red Dead Redemption, but not a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. Stealth, Stealth's here. Did you have any questions, Stealth, for Dave from Experimental Gamer Boot Hill Heroes?
Hello.
I really like the art style of the game. I was just wondering kind of what your inspiration was.
Yeah, obviously that Earthbound is sort of a jumping off point. There's elements in that style that I always have loved since that game came out, but I never saw some of those elements ever used again. For example, like I think it's called orthographic projection, mm-hmm. where you can see like the front of things, but also kind of the side of things at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to see that again. The way some of the characters are made, you can see their mouths. I think that's what looks really different. And a lot of this style, you have like giant eyes and, or is it their mouths or their noses? Something. You can see every feature on their face. rather than if you look at the sprites in like some of the other classic 2D sprite style, that you can't see all of that. It's a very distinct kind of style. So I like that. But I wanted to go and give more of a Wild West theme, so there's a lot more textures used.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, this isn't a run-of-the-mill RPG Maker type game. You guys did not use RPG Maker. You consciously decided to use kind of your own engine, which is interesting.
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to use RPG Maker if it could do what I needed it to do. And because of how you can edit the Ruby code in RPG Maker, you can make it do just about anything. But it just seemed easier for me to do a separate engine.
Yeah. It always seems to be a little bit easier when you start from the ground up. That goes for almost any job. I mean, if you have a really good engine to use that does what you want it to do, then of course you're going to use that. But if it's not doing the type of things that you want, mm-hmm. Then of course you're going to want to do your own thing. All right. So Boot Hill Heroes, let's talk a little bit about the premise of the game. Like, where did you get the inspiration for that? How did that come about? Like the whole story?
Well, we kind of took like a very classical kind of fantasy RPG story and turned it around to make it put in a Wild West setting. For example, like you have this great evil that's been sealed away, mm-hmm. and usually in like a fantasy, that would be like in the past, some kind of dark force was defeated by these heroes and sealed away through magic. But in this Wild West setting, it was just a really awful outlaw that's been was captured by previous heroes and then imprisoned in a really strong fortress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're using real life elements as opposed to the whole idea of magic. You know, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. You released the game October 10th. How's the reception been for Boot Hill?
Pretty good. I wasn't sure what to expect. It's been good to get the word out. I mean, I released it on PC and on Vita before, but mm-hmm. I think until it got on Steam, did people really start to notice it?
Mm-hmm. Now, this started out as a Kickstarter, and you were asking for a very modest, at least in the modern era, of money. I mean, now people are asking upwards of hundreds of thousands of dollars for their game, but you decided to ask for a very modest $5,000. You ended up being really super successful. And what I really appreciate and what I wish more people from Kickstarter would do, you made a chart of exactly what the extra money is going to, and that pretty much was your accountability on the Kickstarter. And I can't tell you enough. I've very rarely seen this on Kickstarter, which is why I'm not a big Kickstarter guy. But some you know, Kickstarters like that, I can really get behind, where the money's really accounted for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did the Kickstarter back when, a long time ago, when Kickstarter was kind of new,
mm-hmm.
and people weren't sure what to make of it, and there was initially some backlash, like, is it okay for people to just ask for money to support their living while they do what they want? So I just wanted to be really clear about what the money was for and what it was going to be used for. So the money wasn't just for the game, although it kind of went there at some points, but it was specifically for music and sound effects.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could do the game myself. I could make the graphics and program it, but I wasn't able to make any music, and I thought music was really important, so that's what I wanted Kickstarter to be for specifically.
Right. I mean, I'm looking at your chart here. Music, sound effects, additional art, increased music button, PAX Prime, improved art. See, something like this, when somebody looks at this, like, your goal was $5,000, and people kept donating, so you're like, you know what, I need to make myself accountable. I'm going to put up a chart. Most people wouldn't do that. Even the bigger entities on Kickstarter that are asking for money won't tell you where the money goes. And that's what drives people nuts. Like, we have no idea what people on Kickstarter are doing unless you put up a chart like this and show us, you know? So it was really interesting, and I thought this was a really great example how Kickstarter can be a really responsible way to go when it comes to funding things.
Yeah, I think I'd like to see Kickstarter go more in that direction, but it's used for different things. Sometimes it seems like it's used to as a more of a promotion tool than anything else, like just to get word out there that you're creating something and start the buzz going, more than it is about getting funds to make what you're trying to make.
Right, exactly right. Now, Boot Hill, Eric has had a chance to play through it, and he's going to give his impressions on the show. But Eric,
no, I'm actually going to write a review for GameTactics.com.
Oh, cool. Now, Eric, you had a question about...
Of course, the editor doesn't know this yet, but spring surprises on him.
Right. So, Eric, did you have a question about maybe the next part in the series, or if it's a series, etc.?
Yeah. I wanted to know what some of your plans for part two were and whether or not you'd be extended to part three or whatever.
The plan is still for that to come around. Right now it's looking about early spring or maybe late winter. So not too long, I hope.
Now, were these other parts included in the Kickstarter campaign, or are you doing a separate campaign?
No, this will cover everything. Because, we obviously didn't know we were doing so much at first, and it got to the point where, this one game you want to make is getting too big.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just split it up so that people can get something now and not have to wait forever and ever for the whole package to come out? And also we can get, better feedback. I can listen to what people think of part one and use that to make part two even better.
Mm-hmm.
What do you find the most challenging? I mean, you wear many hats at Experimental Gamer. You're the programmer, designer, artist, writer. I would think the writing would be pretty difficult for the game.
It can be, because when you think about how to do good pacing so that the scenes don't drag too long and things like that. Of course, there's some parts that I wish were a little smoother, but I hope that it'll get better in part two. I would say probably the hardest part has been maybe porting. Porting's been a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Because you're working with new hardware that has things you're not quite familiar with, and it's easy to get stuck on something and not really know what to do to fix it and have that slow things down quite a bit.
Yeah. Are you starting to reap the benefits of putting the game out, Dave? Are you being rewarded for this now? I'm not exactly asking how much money you're making, but or anything like that, but is it enough to keep you going in the same direction and keep doing what you're doing?
Yeah, I look at it this way. This game was sort of made from scratch from someone who barely knew anything about how to make games.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a very big investment. I'd invest in learning it and making it and creating the engine. But now that's made, now it's like I can make a lot more games a lot faster, and hopefully I'll get a return on that investment.
Mm-hmm. So you're looking at this first one as kind of more of an investment. Obviously, it's a labor of love as well. I mean, this is your first game. Like at least I think it's your first game. Is this your first game, or have you worked on anything else?
I've worked on a few smaller. Well, this one I made an iPhone game called Smash Turtle. You can probably find it for free now.
Mm-hmm.
But I did the art for it, but I did not program that one. This is probably the first one where I did most of it by myself, other than the sound and music.
That's insane to me. I can't imagine doing almost everything. Are there plans to kind of expand Experimental Gamer and kind of make it into a studio that's possibly viable with a Microsoft or Sony or one of the big guys?
Not right now. That would probably happen organically if I met the right people.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know if you would plan on using Jake Hoffman for the soundtrack for the part two as well.
Yeah. He's still working on music for parts two and three. There's some new tracks that are needed for some scenes in that those parts.
Yeah. Yeah. By all accounts, looks like a great game. I think Eric had a ton of fun. I'm not going to spoil his review for Game Tactics or anything like that, but everything that I've seen in video form looks really cool. It's got kind of, like you said, an Earthbound, Final Fantasy, Wild West type feel to it, and I think it's going to appeal to quite a few people, and I'm hoping that, you know, you continue to be successful in your endeavor on Boot Hill and beyond, for sure. We're talking with Dave from Experimental Gamer, if I can speak correctly, Experimental Gamer, with Boot Hill Heroes. He's the all-knowing guru of Experimental Gamer, if you will. He's done everything on the game and, you know, had a dream, went out there, and by all accounts, it's going to be super successful. Eric, Stealth, did you guys have anything else for Dave?
Can't really think of anything at the moment.
Is there anything else you wanted to say about Boot Hill Heroes before we let you? Before we go, Dave, I wanted to ask you a question about the four-player. I wish that more role-playing games would do this. How was that challenge?
That was pretty challenging to get it to work in real time and have four separate menus controlled by up to four different people in real time. That wasn't so easy, but the inspiration from that was, like, as you said, like, why can't more RPGs at the very least just assign different party characters to different controller inputs? That's what Final Fantasy 3-6 did, and it wasn't amazing, but it was something, and it probably wasn't that hard to do with that system.
Mm-hmm.
So that's initially where it went, but then I was thinking, if we're going to go in that direction, let's design the whole game around this idea where it's more fun for multiple people to be playing at the same time, so they're not, you know, they're not waiting for their turns, they're not like waiting to use the menus and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that local or online?
Obviously. Oh, it's just local right now. I would like to make it online someday, but that's still kind of beyond me.
Yeah, that's a whole different animal for sure.
Yeah,
but. Did you expect the response that you got on Kickstarter? I'm looking at your goal of 5,000. You ended up making a little over 18,000. Did you expect that many people to back you up, Dave?
It was a lot better than I expected. There was a lot of people that it seems like have, like, not. I think if you look at the amount of money we got versus how many backers we got, I think on average, we get higher than most Kickstarters, but we also got a fewer number of people. So that sort of tells me that the people that are interested in the game are very interested, and the people that aren't just aren't. So that's kind of a fun group to work with, because you know that certain people really care about what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think it's fantastic. Like, I always talk about this with our podcasts. You know, I'm always amazed that anybody listens. So anybody that's backing up your project's got to be a very heartening thing, you know, a very awesome thing to go through. And did you celebrate when you hit the $5,000 goal?
I think we were too busy keeping up with correspondence and trying to get the game together to do much celebrating. I think once it was sort of finished, there was a lot of more time to relax and be happy with how things went.
Yeah. Is there plans to make like a series, like Eric was alluding to earlier? Is it just going to be a two-parter, or is this going to be kind of a series type game?
The series will be three games. If it turns out really popular, then I definitely would have ideas to further explore the the Boot Hill Heroes universe, if people are interested in that. If they're not, I still might use the engine to create different kinds of games with a sort of similar combat style.
Mm-hmm. Do you plan on maybe in the future going 3D, or is this kind of your niche? You're going to stick to the, you know, 2D retro RPG type style?
I think for me it'll be 2D because I think I'm more interested in getting the story and the atmosphere across, and 3D would be too big an investment for me alone to undertake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although I definitely want to give it a shot when I have some free time.
You're probably going to be a busy guy for years to come, Dave, if this game is any indication. Dave from Experimental Gamer, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to join us on RP Grinders to talk about Boot Hill Heroes. Was there anything that you wanted to tell our audience out there?
Let's see. Well, I hope people take a look at the game, especially video of the game, because if you look at the screenshots, it doesn't really tell you what the combat is like. It's kind of different than what you would expect in a 2D RPG.
Yeah, for sure. Everybody go check out Boot Hill Heroes. It's out now on Steam, Vita, and PC, right, Dave?
Yeah.
And any plans for any other platforms in the near future?
Yes, it's almost ready for Xbox Live Indie Games.
Oh.
I'm hoping when it's on that platform, it'll be easier for people to play local co-op because it's much more common for people to have multiple Xbox controllers than have controllers for their PC.
Right, no question about that. That's definite challenge, multiple controllers for the PC. But all right, Dave, we really appreciate you being on the show. Make sure you check out Boot Hill Heroes. And, you know, check out Dave on Twitter. What's your Twitter, Dave?
It's at Boot Hill Heroes.
At Boot Hill Heroes. Tell them what you thought of the game, for better or worse. Hopefully better.
Yeah, especially because there's two more games coming, so I really take feedback very seriously, and I'm very grateful for anything anyone has to tell me.
Hey, there you go. That's always cool to, you know, ask the fans their input. Maybe not take everything into account, but, you know, to at least take some of the criticisms, you know. Was that hard for you before we let you go, Dave? Was that hard taking some of the criticisms that you took?
You know, it was at first, but I've heard enough feedback that it's like, I'm pretty confident I know what's wrong with the game, what could be better, and what's good about it. Mm-hmm. And whenever I read a review, it's like, yeah, that's, You've discovered it too. Yes, that's what that's true. I'm reading like points you're making. Like, yes, this one is very true. Yes, and then there could be like a sort of like edge. I call it edge case opinion, where someone doesn't like something that everybody else did, and it's like, well, like, still it's subjective. I can't please everyone.
Right.
But you know, you try to look at the things that people are commonly saying, and sort of figure out what's behind it and what could be fixed there.
Yeah, you always get the bad apple in the bunch that say, your game sucks no matter what. You know, I mean, you could make a perfect game and people would think it sucks for sure. But all right, Dave, we really appreciate you taking the time. Have a great rest of your day. Dave from Experimental Gamer, Boot Hill Heroes is out now. So go get it and, you know, tell Dave what you think of it. And I'm sure you're going to have tons of fun. All right, that was the interview that we had, obviously, with Dave from Experimental Gamer. I hope you guys enjoyed that interview. I don't know what the hell was wrong with my mouth that day. I was kind of tongue-tied. It was weird. But
was that the day you had to suck up to Stealth?
No, it was definitely not that day. I did talk to Stealth about the Bronco Patriot game before that interview, though. But I think I did, anyway, or after that interview, anyways. So that's going to about do it for today's show. We're going to get into plugs. Mug, what's your plugs, sir?
For me, I'm just going to go with my Twitter account. You can find me at MoriaMug, MoriaMug, on Twitter.
Okay.
That'll be it for me.
All right, Stealth, your plugs. Did Stealth die?
I'm here.
All right, Stealth.
You can find me at Stealth 3_. I also did a podcast for Leviathan, so check that out.
Oh, you liar! You said you weren't going to do another one.
That's 2 weeks ago.
That's why he wants to quit.
Oh, that was
right.
He wants to join another podcast.
What else, Stealth?
That's it.
All right, Eric, your plugs.
My plugs are GameTactics.com and TotallyGen.com. You can look at the review for Shantae and the Pirate's Curse there at TotallyGen. And Planetarian and Planetarian and I forget what the other Tenkai Knights review up on GameTactics.com. And next week should be the review for Boot Hill Heroes and Fantasy Life and Senran Kagura
Shinobi Versus?
No, Bon Appetit.
Hmm. Oh, that.
Yeah, that one.
Alright. Anything else, Eric?
Look forward to a review for Tales of Hearts R.
Alright.
I don't know where I'm gonna submit it to yet. Probably Game Tactics, because I did discuss it with M2.
Hmm.
But other than that, you can find my YouTube page, Funny T-Man. I'm going to try to do that Jesus Kiyofuna Biomonster this weekend. After I had uploaded two other videos for Halloween, Castlevania Adventure and Castlevania 2 Bellman's Revenge. The color versions of the game. And ROM hacks, so that the characters aren't super slow like they are in the original game. But, you can find me on Twitter at EricRPG, and that's on all my plugs. All
right, we're going to skip Breakman this week. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, Breakman. Your plugs.
How do you spell Leviathan? Because I'm sitting here trying to spell it, and I've got
Leviathan.
Oh, A-N. Oh, I was close. A-N. O-N. Okay.
And that would be Leviathan.
Yeah, like it didn't look right. I couldn't figure. Follow at @break_man and at RP Grinders. Whoever the asshole is who runs at RP Grinders can go fuck himself. Just saying.
Is that
I'm glad to understand he's not a very nice person.
Yeah, guy's a dick.
Is anything Seriously. Else, Break?
Hypergrinders always complains about Break, man.
Yeah,
for some reason. I noticed that. I'm getting really irritated. Seriously irritated. I gotta go home because I can't keep a straight face anymore.
All right, my plugs, guys. I want to thank each and every listener of the show. Been doing this for quite a long time. I'm taking an in-depth, if you didn't listen to the beginning of the show, I'm taking an indefinite hiatus from all podcasting. And,
but don't
and
worry, the rest of us aren't quitters.
Right.
And
the reason being, I just have some personal demons I have to slay before I can get back on the air and stuff. I'm hoping for a speedy return, but I can't promise anything. That's why it's indefinite. Could be tomorrow, could be weeks from now, could be months from now. I do not know, but I know what I have to do, and it's attainable. It's just going to take a lot of hard work. I want to thank most especially the chatters that have been in here each and every week. Wyland, sometimes MXT, every once in a while Shadow, and especially Gripper, Dungeon Buster. You guys are kind of the reason that I kept doing this all these years. I mean, I've dealt with a lot of adversity. I've dealt with a lot of politics, a lot of bullshit that I was just unnecessary, whether it was in the last network that we were on, or with people that are still on that network. There was just a lot of bullshit that went on that it was out of my control. So I want to thank you guys for coming on over, and the listeners too, each and every one of you guys that on the archives that listens to RP Grinders. I hope you continue to listen to RP Grinders, not only because eventually, hopefully I'll be back, But because these other guys work their asses off each and every week to bring you some cool role-playing content, all right? Eric's and most especially Eric, who's been with me for years. So I want to thank all of you guys, especially you guys, Stealth. You've been a stalwart. Moria, for coming on. Breakman, you've been an absolute joy to have you on the show, despite what people will say.
I know, especially that,
what I say.
At RP,
we should have gotten Stealth a birthday cake because he's been here for about a year.
Yeah, he has. Stealth's been stalwart.
It's been over a year.
Even though
it's been over a year, because he only came on like a month after I did.
Right.
So it wasn't that long, you know.
So, I can't thank everybody enough for all the support. I'm hoping to get back sooner than later, but life gets in the way sometimes. I've just got a lot of things to deal with at the moment, and my most precious commodity right now is time. I'm mentally and physically exhausted. I can't deal with juggling 50 million things at once. I'm not a real good multitasker, so I just need some time.
Human beings in general are shit and multitasking.
Well, yeah. Say that to the nearest woman that you find, because women are much better at it.
Actually, that's not true.
It's totally true, and at least from personal experience. At least in personal experience.
No, anecdotes are not evidence.
Well, I'm just telling you from my personal experience, especially with my wife, she can multitask, man. It's no joke. Some people can do it. I know it's not the norm.
She had a canker sore or something.
But anyways, I'm not here to argue. I'm just here to say thank you to everybody. Stay safe this weekend. There's no GDP tonight. If I ever get back to podcasting, I'll resume that as well as everything else, like DMT. And by the way, DMT will be moving on with Jack Wallen and Kat from the Horror Honey. So I hope you continue to support that. And continue to support Wicked Radio Network, because it's still going to continue. It's bigger than myself. Even though I'm a founder of WRN, it's just bigger than anything I could have ever imagined, and it will go on just like RP Grinders. It's going to continue. I'm guessing there's going to be no show next week, because I kind of got to get these knuckleheads up to speed. But
there may be a practice type show, you know.
Yeah, possibly.
We might be working on it next week, but I wouldn't expect a full show,
right?
Or a normal show.
But like I said, thank you, everybody. I really appreciate it. I hope you stay safe this weekend, and hopefully you'll still support RP Grinders. Hopefully you'll still support WRN, DMT, and all the fine shows over at WRN.
And send all your hate mail to RP Grinders, at RP Grinders.
At RP Grinders, yes. You can still follow me on Twitter. I'm sure I'll still be around on Twitter, at Frank Branches, and hopefully I'll be back sooner than later. Until then, I am signing out. Thanks, guys. I appreciate everything that you guys have done, and the listeners especially. You guys rock. Till then, we're out.